Welcome to The Good Life. Thank you for stopping by. I'm Patrick Harney. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, share. You know the drill. You know the deal. Today I got a good episode because it is my last time I will be doing the goods. I have a gentleman who is the host of the True You Character Building with Java podcast. And he's just an awesome guy. I could talk to him for hours. And we have a great conversation, a great back and forth. I've been lucky enough to be on his show as well. Make sure to check it out. And I'm not going to say anymore because I want to get into the episode. So let's get into it. All right. And we are live. Java, my guy. Thank you very much for being here. How are you, man?
I'm great, Patrick. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. For all of you who don't know, you should. This is the host of the True You Character Building with Java podcast. And I got to say, you've got really, really good episodes on there. And your show is about self-improvement.
So yes, absolutely.
So if you could kind of talk a little bit about what made you want to start this podcast exactly.
Well, first off, I want to thank you for having me on your show. Patrick, you're on my show. You're awesome. We just really connected and it's been an honor to be back on your show. My show is all about building character. It's all about, you know, the whole term true you. I really came up with that one day because I'm trying to help people find the best versions of themselves, your true self. And so what I would do and what my podcasts are and is that we talk about different character qualities that I feel that, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, these are things that I wish somebody would have talked to me about. I wish somebody would have taken time out to be like, what is integrity? How do you gain respect? Yeah. Like, you hear that word all the time, respect this, respect that. But really, have you really like broken it down and analyzed it and been like, okay, so if I want to get respect, how the heck do I go about this? Mm-hmm. So it's really that whole process. And it's so much more than that. I mean, it's about self-awareness. It's about listening and communication, which I talked to you about. Mm-hmm. It's about being a parent. It's about, I mean, there's so many different areas of it. And that's why to me, like, it's all about self-improvement. It's all about trying to make the best version of you. And so people listen to my podcast, hey, you know, we're all work in progress. Let's try to be the best version of ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that, and I know this has been a topic on your show. One of the things that I think is one of the best character builders is facing adversity. And I think it's it's something that I think builds character very quickly for people. Or it at least allows them to see, okay, what do I need to improve on? You know? So talk to me a little bit about what is it about adversity do you think that is such a good teacher for people, especially young people?
And you hit on one of my favorite topics right off the bat. I applaud you. No, it's really, I'll tell you, Patrick, adversity is something that really shows your character. It shows who you truly are. I remember once reading about adversity, and it was like stripping, when you go through adversity, it's like stripping away everything and just showing your real bare true self. Because when things are good, when things are going good in your life, when everything's moving in the right direction, you got money, you got food, you got a house over your head, everything's going smooth. Hey, we're all great to hang out with. Everyone's in a good mood. Everyone's like happy. Hey, I can hang out with that person forever.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, when they go through hard times, when adversity hits them, it really shows their true colors. And it is. It's such a great learning tool because you will see your strengths and weaknesses. It will show them to you clear as day. And you will be like, and hopefully, if you are self-aware enough and self-reflective enough, you will take that time to step back and be like, God, I didn't handle that well at all. I handled that as poorly as you possibly could. And there have been situations like that. Now, I think stories are always good, especially for our listeners. You know, like, for example, one time my wife broke her hand, broke her wrist, right? And this was a long time ago. And she, like, she needed to go and, of course, like, go to the hospital and all this stuff. And I did not, I handled all that great. I took her to the hospital, like, all that was awesome. But then we were hanging out and we were doing stuff and she couldn't do some of the things that I wanted to do, like, immediately right afterwards. And we were on vacation somewhere. Yeah. And I let it get to me, and I had this, like, terrible attitude about it. And now when I look back, I'm like, oh my God, like, what was wrong with me? Like, I needed to, and, you know, we're all human. We're all, yeah. I made a mistake, and I'll be the first to admit. And whenever she brings it up, she'll bring it up every now and then. Cause, you know, we banter with each other. We give each other a hard time.
Yeah.
When she does bring it up, I immediately say, like, hey, I completely screwed that up. That was adversity that not only you were dealing with a broken wrist, but I was dealing with a wife that was going through adversity. And I dealt with that adversity as poorly as I possibly could. And I promise her, I'm like, anytime that anything like that ever happens again, you, oh my God, I will be your servant. I will do whatever you want. And to me, like, that's what it comes down to, right? Is that, did you learn from the adversity you went through to make yourself a better person?
Yeah. You know what I picture with that?
Go, please.
I picture you guys going on vacation or something, and she's got a cast, and there's this opportunity to go rock climbing. And you're like, oh man, I've always wanted to go rock climbing. Let's do it. She's like, I can't do it. I'm like, oh no, you'll be fine. Like, no, I need both hands. Oh, come on, stop being such a baby about it. She's like, no, like, I really can't. Like, I have a broken wrist. Oh gosh. Like, then why? I don't even know why we went on this vacation.
Can I follow up with a story that's hysterical? Just about, and this isn't so much adversity, but this is just, so reminds me, like, the story you just told. We were in Capri in Greece on our honeymoon. Mm-hmm. In Italy. And it was gorgeous, just this gorgeous island. Like, oh my God, it was amazing. And I remember there was this trail leading to this, like, arch. And I, like, my eyes got the biggest in the world. Cause you know me, I'm a total outdoors person.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, sweetie, we gotta do this. We gotta take this hike. I wanna see the arch. I wanna see it. And she just, like, points to the floor, points to the ground. And I look down and she's wearing flip flops. And you should have seen my look, Patrick. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what? Do you think you wear flip-flops on a day like today where we're walking all around this beautiful island? Bold and of strategy. Course, she's like, yeah, she's like, I can't go down this trail through these mountains, this arch. And still to the day, I'm just like, oh, we missed our one chance to go see that arch. Anyway, it's a funny story. Yeah. And I was so bummed. Oh man, I was bummed. I'm sure. Still, yeah.
I'm sure. God, man, that's funny. But so back to the adversity thing, like, why is it, do you think that it's so important for kids to face adversity? Because I feel like in today's world, it's almost as though it's become this place where we do everything we can to make it so our kids don't face adversity. But do you feel, I guess is really what my question should be, do you feel that it is important that kids, because I would argue that it is, that they do face adversity and that they do face a good amount of it? You know, obviously that's nothing so super dangerous, but like, even in terms of whether it be sports or something like competition, you know, there's so much of the whole participation medal and, oh, look, you did it. Congratulations. You were involved. You know, I don't know. To me, I feel it's important that there is competition because they learn how to win gracefully, but also, and win humbly, but also lose respectfully. And, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that whole thing?
Oh, I completely agree with you. And being a parent and being in this position is actually harder than you think. Because, of course, I will sit here and tell you, absolutely, children should go through adversity. Mm-hmm. Children should have challenges because it will develop their character. So, but when you're actually put in that position, It actually is. And I'm telling you, I'm one that's fully on board with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's harder than you think because you just care so much about them that you want to get in front of them to get ahead of any like difficulty or challenges that they may have. Because God forbid your child actually has to go through some hard times because you don't want to see that look on your child's face of defeat or of, oh my God, I'm struggling. Like, what do I do? It's difficult. And for all the parents out there, I think they know what I'm talking about, but that's where you really have to take a step back and say, yes, like my child needs to go through this. I'll give you case in point. Mm-hmm. Right now, our child went from pre-K to junior pre-K because she's 4 going on 5, but she missed the deadline, which for us, we're happy about that. We think she could use another year to develop before she goes to kindergarten. But she also lost a couple of her really close friends. Mm. So right now, she has to navigate her friendships on the playground and in the classroom. And this is a lot. This is a lot for a 4 going on 5-year-old. This is, and we deal with social issues as adults, right? We always deal with like, oh, my friend and I, we're not on a good page. I just went through that through the pandemic. Me and my best friend, we were struggling through the pandemic. There was a period of time that we didn't talk to each other. Luckily, he came this last weekend and we picked up nothing changed. Like no time had passed. Mm-hmm. I think children have a hard time with that. I think children are much more in the present. They're thinking, what am I going to do now on the playground? And so God bless my wife, because we've had discussions about this adversity is good for her. She needs to go through this adversity. She needs to know. And I got to compliment my wife too, because she said to me just the other day on the phone, she's like, she needs to know, like, how am I going to navigate these wires? If I need to talk to the teacher, maybe I do. Maybe I need to sit down and say, hey, such and such is not playing well with me on the playground. We need to work on this. Maybe me and her need to come in. And we're not down that road yet.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that this is okay. She has to learn that friends are going to come in and out of her life. She has to learn that there's going to be times on the playground where kids are not going to get along, where you're not getting along with everyone. How are you going to handle it? Yeah. Because God knows this is just a small glimpse of what she's going to deal with as she gets older. And it could be really easy for us to be like, oh, you know what? Her best friend's doing this. Let's do the same thing because she should stay with her best friend and because she's comfortable in that setting. And that's a comfort setting. Well, that's not going to work either. And one more point. I remember having a student last year in my anatomy and physiology class. And she told me that she's moved now either it was 4 or 5 times. Like she, and just before she moved to Naperville, Illinois, she lived in California. And she said to me, and I'll never forget this, she said, one of the best things that ever happened to me was moving as much as I have. And immediately I was just like, why? Tell me why. And she said, because every time I had to deal with adversity, because I had to make new friends, I had to figure out my environment, I had to learn how to adapt to my new teachers, my new school, et cetera, et cetera. And all it's done is made me stronger and made me much more adaptive, much more flexible, like understanding people better. There were so many advantages and positives she took out of moving. And I know that it's like when I sit here and think about myself, I'm like, my child has she has a playroom, she has her bedroom, she has all these comforts here. What if we move one day? But a part of me says, now that in having this conversation with a student of mine last year made me realize, like, it wouldn't be bad. Now, I'm not saying we are going to move. We don't have any plans at all. But I'm saying, like, you realize that adversity is great and is a wonderful thing for children.
Yeah. I like that a lot. And that's a very interesting outlook that your student had on that. Because you always hear of, the kids that move around a lot, it's always a negative, or if their parent was in the military, oh yeah, I've moved, 9 times in the last 6 years or 7 years, So that's interesting. And also, in terms of the adversity and adding to that, you know, I think it's important too, because when they're kids, it's one of those things where the stakes aren't that high for kids. So it's almost like it's a trial run for them when they're kids to learn how to react. And then when they get older, whether they realize it or not, they have a better sense on how to deal with bigger problems. You know, they're more educated, so to speak, on how to deal with some of those bigger problems, because they can look back at the time of, well, when I was 6 years old and Johnny, you know, was throwing a fit on the baseball diamond because he didn't get his way or whatever. I remember I responded this way and it worked out well. So maybe if I do that this time, maybe it'll work out well again, you know?
No, you're absolutely correct. And I think that, you know, talking about character qualities, one of the things that really stood out about the student very, very early, very quickly in my, you know, relationship with her and in my time with interacting with her, she was just a very self-reflective, self-aware individual. And she, first of all, she's a very positive individual, which I think is a great quality. Mm-hmm. But secondly, she took time to reflect and be like, okay, what can I learn from this? Or how can I learn from that? And that's just how our mind works. To me, it's that growth mindset, mm-hmm. where you never want to be stuck saying, oh, I've learned enough. Or, hey, you know what? I know enough. I don't need to learn this. I think she is the type of person that always thinks, hey, what else can I learn? What else? How else can I be better? And it's that growth mindset that will push people to be really the best version of themselves. Yeah. And so whenever we, and don't get wrong, it's not saying like every minute of every day. Like, I mean, sometimes I get on my phone and I'm like, hey, let's just hang out fancy football, right? Like, yeah. You know, you need your break, but you don't need to be always learning is what I'm trying to say. But you need to have that growth mindset where you're willing to be self-aware, willing to realize like, where are my weaknesses? Where are my strengths? What do I need to work on? And that just goes all the way back to our original conversation at the very beginning of the episode with character building and, you know, self-improvement.
Where do you think that mindset, where do you think that comes from? Do you think that's something that some people are just born with? Or do you think that's a learned mindset to have, whether it be through observation of their parents or adults in their life? Where do you think that comes from exactly?
The whole nature versus nurture conversation, huh? I that's a great question, Patrick. It really is. I do think it's a combination of both. Mm. I think that is that, and I think that most people would say that, but really when you break it down and look at it, I would definitely agree that there is a component of who you are. For myself, I think I've always been a person that's tried to be more like in depth, like trying to analyze things more. I'm really a type of person that likes to break things down. I really like structure and trying to figure out why did I act like this, or why did this happen? I ask a lot of whys in my head. That's just my personality and who I am. But also, I do think it is who you surround yourself with. And I know I did a whole podcast episode about who you surround yourself with. To me, the people that you surround yourself with and who you want to interact with. Like one of the reasons I'm with my beautiful wife is she challenges me. And she's someone that I can have these conversations with. And we do. We go back and forth sometimes. And yes, we share the same values. And that's why we're together. But there are things that we talk back and forth like, oh, I don't know. What do you think about this? I don't know. What do you think about this? And so we've learned from each other that we love to communicate with each other because we do. We challenge each other. And if I, for example, if I need something to figure out in my head, she's the first person I go to because I know that she'll maybe make me look at it from a different perspective, maybe make a point that I didn't think about. And I've done that with my friends too. I will tell you right now that there are friends that were in my life that I didn't think were a good influence for me that I have, you know, for lack of a better term, not knocked out of my life. Mm-hmm. And there are other friends I've kept in my life that I'm like, you know what? not only do they accept me for who I am, but they embrace me for who I am. I feel like they're a good influence on me. I feel like when I'm around them, I'm a good person and they help me be a better person. I don't have to like drop myself or lower myself down to their level. So I think it is a combination of both.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I like that. Now, kind of continuing on to with the character building, and what do you think are the most important factors for somebody growing up that contribute to who their character is when they become an adult? I mean, is that even realistic to even sit down and pick those things, you know, to, because I know it's an incredibly complicated subject, but if we could simplify it at all, are there like staples that go, okay, this definitely add or, you know, contributes and this contributes and this contributes?
That's a really interesting question, because I would say right off the bat, like, oh, your parents really matter. And they do. They do. Like, the way that you were raised, mm-hmm. I think does matter. But I'm going to be honest with you. When I look at my parents, I love them to death. They mean the whole world to me, and I think the world of them. But I don't think that they were as self-reflective as I've become. It's not like they raised me and said, hey, Arnoush, you need to be self-reflective. You need to be self-aware. These are terms that they never use with me. These mm-hmm. are things that I have learned throughout my time. Now, did they raise me to be a good person, to work hard, to want to learn? Yes, they did. So I think they laid down some foundation. So I think that your parents do matter. I also think it's the environment that you're in. Mm-hmm. And again, I go back to who you surround yourself with. I know for me, like, I grew up in a small town. I had a really close group of friends. I remember that a lot of my friends were on student council, and, you know, we didn't really deal with the drugs or the alcohol and stuff. And so I think that purposely picking a group like that and being around kids that I felt were making a good influence on me, I definitely think that that helped. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, it's that curiosity factor. It's the wanting to grow factor. I always, you know, and a lot of times you don't realize things until you experience them. And to me, the word experience is really important. I really feel like the best way to learn is through experiences.
Oh yeah.
I really do. You can read a book all you want. You can read as many books as you want. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And God knows, God bless people that read all the time. Now, do I read? Yes, I do read. Now, do I grab a book at, you know, Barnes & Noble and read that cover to cover? It's not really my shtick. Instead, like, I will find articles and I will find stuff that I like to read and I'll do that. But to me, when you go out in the real world and you experience things, I think you can really learn from them and it can help define who you are. So, for example, case in point, like, for me, I never knew that I wanted to become a teacher. But by going through some of the experiences I had, such as coaching football, such as being a camp counselor, such as shadowing my old high school teacher, through all this, I've realized, like, hey, I think this is what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. And it was by experiencing. It wasn't by reading a book being like, okay, this is what it's like to be a teacher, blah, 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 blah. I mean, will that help? Sure, that'll help. But to me, I really think experiences and having those experiences and multiple experiences really help shape who you are. And so whether you have good or bad influences, that's a big deal.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Experience to me, and I agree with your point. I think experience is always the best teacher. Because, you know, I mean, it's the same thing with my career. You can tell me all day long, how to act. You can explain to me, you know, throw a book in front of my face and let me read it, or, you know, or what it's like to be on set. You know, you can tell me all about it. Sure. But until I'm actually there, I really don't have an idea fully. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'll tell you what, like being on set, being on a set has been my greatest teacher, because every set is different. You're never going to have the same experience ever. And everybody that's involved in that is not going to have the same experience. And so that's why, to me, sometimes it's tough seeing kind of these cookie cutter explanations or teachings where everybody's experience is different. I remember I had a college professor, his name's Carl Good, and I've actually had him on the show. And he was where I got the story of and the phrase "be the buffalo." He's where I got that from.
I love that, by the way. Love it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I remember showing up to his class. So I went to Michigan State University, and I showed up to his class, and it was creative processes. 500 people in the class, and the first thing he said was, "Well, you're not going to have any homework, and we're not going to have any exams or tests or quizzes." And everybody was like, "Oh, yeah." And, like, "Oh, yeah, great. Well, I love this guy." And he goes, "What we're going to have are projects. And everybody's project is going to be different." But what he did was he taught us how to think outside of the box.
Yes.
And it was funny because I remember him telling me that he didn't go to college. He took one semester at a junior college and then dropped out. And he was the director of infographics for Newsweek for like 20 some years.
Wow.
And he said that it was funny because he said that Michigan State, when they reached out to him about coming to teach a class, they had asked him, "Okay, well, we see, where's your degree from and what degree do you have?" He goes, "Oh no, I don't have one." And they said, and he said, "Is that going to be a problem?" And they said, "Well, I mean, typically we'd like to," and he cut him off. He goes, "But you asked me in here because of my experience, correct?" And they said, "Well, yeah." He goes, "So then what's the problem?"
Yeah.
And he got the job.
True.
But what he did was he taught us to think outside the box, think for ourselves, but also push limits. And in doing so, in that experience, it allowed us to learn, okay, how can I try and create something that's different than from everybody else? But and in doing that, I was able to come up with things that I never would have dreamed of.
Yeah.
That I never would have thought of. And yes. In turn, it's helped me in my career later on because I start looking at, okay, what is person A, B, and C doing? They're all doing the same thing. So is D, E, and F. Well, I want to do something completely different and stand out. And so a long tangent around back to the point is, if I didn't have that experience, if I didn't have the experience of having a class that was completely different than every other college class that I had taken, like who knows where I would have ended up having to learn that information, but I would have needed to learn it for my career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing that can replace experiences.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely. And again, I'm not knocking on books or this and that, but to have experiences really helps you figure out yourself.
Yeah.
It really helps you realize what makes you tick, what doesn't, what you like, what you don't, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. It really helps you. I always encourage people. For example, when my students come to me, "Hey, I'm thinking about going in this." Go do it. Yeah. Go do it for a while. Go experience. Don't read about it. Go do it. I mean, you should read about it, but you get my point.
Yes.
I don't want to discount that.
Yeah.
But go do it. I always say, go shadow somebody. Go try to find a assistant position or whatever it may be and do it for a while. Because you may do it and realize, like, I hate this. And like, what am I doing? Like, yeah, sounds good on paper. But when you actually do it, like, oh my God, like, for this and this reason, I don't like it. And that's why, for example, for me, like I remember when I first got this email when I was a senior at University of Illinois, and it was like, hey, we're looking for football coaches for the fall local high school. I was like, and I remember saying to myself, here I am, 21 years old. I was like, well, you know, this could be my first shot at seeing if I like teaching. Let's see if I want to do this. And I did. And now that I love it, I loved it. I got to practices early. I left there late. So I'm like, okay, this is a no-brainer. I love this. And I went to a camp. And I was like, okay, I don't know if camps are for me. But I went and I was like, oh my God, I love this. Like, this is great. And so on and so forth. I mean, I could talk about a number of things that I didn't know I was going to like until I did them. And then other things, like I'll tell you another story. I was at U of I. It was my sophomore year. And I was trying to figure out what my path in kinesiology was. Because I chose kinesiology, but kinesiology is very broad. Study of human movement. You can go in so many different ways. PT, athletic training, etc. So at the time, I was like, okay, I really like sports. I'm going to do athletic training. And I remember going through the program there my sophomore year. And, you know, you're in a cohort. And basically what happens is when you're in this big cohort, they choose, like, I think there was like 50 of us, 40 of us or something. Now those, they only take about half. So you have to make the cut.
Mm.
And like, I was getting along with everyone. I remember we'd go out together. It was a wonderful group. But I remember going through my time there and experiencing it. I was like, you know, this is kind of boring. Like, we just sit around and wait for somebody to get injured. And I was like, no, it is. Like, Patrick, that's what you do. You literally, in athletic training, you do this. And God bless you guys. You literally just wait around for somebody to get injured.
And then you're like, can somebody please just roll an ankle?
Exactly. And but, you know, but they're so needed. And some people love it. And they're very passionate about it. And God bless them.
Yeah.
But what I started to realize after... Because they had us go to football practice once. I remember basketball practice once, and it was cool. I got to deal with the college athletes, and I remember I was in the training room all the time, and we would just hang out a lot of times. And I remember saying to myself one day towards the end of the semester, I was like, I don't think I'd be happy. Like, I don't think this is for me. And I remember I approached the director of our cohort, director of our program, and I remember I sat down with her and I said to her, I said, yeah, I'm going to withdraw from the athletic training program. And she was shocked. Like, she was completely blindsided by me doing this. And she said to me, she told me that. She goes, I don't really know what to say. I thought you were all in. Like, you love being with everyone. You're a very outgoing guy. You seem to really enjoy this. And I said, yes, I enjoy the friends I've made through this cohort, through this program. But I just don't think it's for me. I don't know if I want to be... in a job where I just waited around for people to get injured. And you know what she said to me? She goes, I just want you to know you are a number one guy. You are a number one person that we were going to take out of the whole cohort. And I said, I said to her, I'm extremely humbled to hear that. But because, going back to the original point, because I experienced it, because I went through the experiences, I realized, like, you know what, this isn't for me.
Yeah. Well, to go off of that, I thought I wanted to be a detective. I wanted to work my way up to be a detective, right?
Right.
And I was, you know, super intrigued with that whole process, right? And then I spoke with an actual detective, and I said, "So, what's it like? You know, like, how is it?" And they're like, "Oh, it's probably about 95% of the time, it's just filling out paperwork." And I was like, "What?" They're like, yeah, like if you think you're gonna be like in the action,
like wrong. On TV, right? Like on TV.
but see, then I realized that I would much rather play one on TV. Like, I was basing my experience or my hope off of what I saw on TV, and like, oh man, I'd love to do that. But then I came to find out, like, you know what? No, I think I'd rather just play one on TV and get to do quote unquote the fun stuff. In a show or in a movie. And thank God I did that. I made that decision because from that point on, like, I had offers from colleges to go play basketball in college after school.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Well, Thank you. They were not like, it wasn't like Duke or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't D1 or even D2. I think it was just a few D3 schools. But still, like, my life was basketball growing up. And I remember I found out that my old AAU coach was going to be coaching at one of these colleges. He got a coaching job there. Well, I turned them all down. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, he called my athletic director at my high school and said, what the hell is he doing? Why isn't he coming? So the athletic director pulled me out of class one day and asked me, he said, so he wants you to reconsider. I was like, that's nice, but I'm not going to the NBA. And so I know I want to be an actor. So this will just be prolonging my career, you know? So I'm not going to do it. Sorry, but I'm not going to. And I remember a part of my decision was made because I had an experience where I went to a college. It was a college camp that I was invited to. It was basically a workout for this school. And I remember at the end of it, they said, yeah, our guys are up at 4 a.m. every morning. And we all as a team run 3 miles and we do, you know, X and Y and Z and, you know, work out immediately after that 3 miles. And then we go to class and we have lunch and then we work out again. And then we go to class again. And I was like, I don't want to do any of that. That sounds awful. I don't want to get up at 4 a.m. and run 3 miles for a D3 college basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but if I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't have known. And so
absolutely,
it is, man. It's all part of it. So another quick thing that I want to touch on is that you are now a college professor.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
What are you?
Can I go back to one point though? That you were just making a second ago, Patrick. Do you mind if I do that?
So no, I'm kidding. Yeah.
I'm kidding. I was like, yeah, okay, I guess I won't.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, one of the things that I really like what you said and what my story and your story, I think, goes to, which I'm super duper passionate about this, is that you followed your own path. You know, you followed whatever path you want to follow. You didn't follow a path that you thought you should. And I'm really emphasizing that word should. You should follow, or that people around you are like, oh, they expect you to follow. You made your own path. And I think that is so big in this world and so big when we're talking about being your true self, you know, because I mean, there's so many, like, you know, like I was really good at athletic training. She said, she goes, you're our number one person. I could have easily just been like, oh, okay, I guess I'm really good at this. So maybe I should do it, but I wasn't going to be happy. You know, like, why am I going to do something? Even if I'm good at it, if it's not going to make me happy, like to me, success is happiness in so many ways. I mean, there's so many ways you can measure success, right? But if I'm not happy each and every day, if I don't look forward to going to my job, if I don't feel like I'm making a difference, like that's who I am. I'm not going to be happy. And in turn, I'm really going to struggle saying, hey, you know what? I'm successful. And I think that I've been around enough people where they went down a road where they thought they should go down. And then all of a sudden they keep, what I find is that they're still searching. They're still searching for where they want to be, what career they want to choose, what job, like they're just searching. Because they never took that time to look intrinsically and say, hey, this is what I like. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to follow because I know this is going to make me happy. And although the road may have a lot of adversity, going back to what we talked about before, or I may have some ups and downs, I'm going to try my hardest because I think that this is, in the end, what's going to make me happy. And I think that adversity, that fear of failure, that I don't know if I'm going to make enough money, whatever it may be, I think all that sometimes persuades people not to do it. Yeah. And almost like I'll use the word tricking, almost like tricking themselves not to do it. And instead, like if they followed their passion, if they followed what makes them happy, I think, who knows, maybe they would find an amazing job. Maybe they would find a job that makes a ton of money. Because I truly believe that. I truly believe that if you follow your passion, if you follow what you love, you will be successful at it. You will make money. You will be able to provide for you and your family. I'm a big believer in that.
Yeah.
But I think that goes back to your story and my story.
It does. Well, and also like success is kind of objective, right? Or subjective? Subjective.
Subjective.
So is what I'm looking Individual. For, not objective. Yes, yes, it's subjective. You know, because I mean, there's some people that, you know, they may not think that they're successful until they are the number one in their field.
True.
But then there's others who may feel that they're incredibly successful because they're able to pay their bills, you know?
Very good point. It is subjective for sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's also an important point I think to make in terms of success, because there's plenty of people who are incredibly successful at what they do, but they're also some of the most depressed people out there, you know?
That's
I mean, even look at some of the top professions for like high suicide rates.
Yeah.
There are professions that they make a lot of money.
True.
Doctors, lawyers, you know, dentists, like there's,
yes.
they make a lot of money.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, that's an interesting point that you make. So thank you very much for bringing that up. So you're a college professor.
Yeah, let's go back to that. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. So what are you teaching?
I am teaching anatomy and physiology. I've been teaching anatomy and physiology. I'm going on my 16th year at my high school. I teach at Nico Valley High School. It's a great high school here in Naperville. Very fortunate to be there. Yeah, there you go. The Wildcats. We do. We have an amazing administration. It's just everything. The school's amazing. We have all of our resources we could want. Very fortunate to be there. Mm-hmm. Being that I teach that class, it's a dual credit class, meaning that it had to be approved by COD. So in order to teach a dual credit class, you need to have at least a master's, which I do, in an anatomy area, which I do in kinesiology. And so I was technically, quote unquote, like rubber stamped by approval by COD when I first took the job 16 years ago. But then over time, one or two of my other colleagues were telling me that, hey, I'm working at the local college here and you should get a job there. And of course, for a number of years, I was like, no, I want to do this. I want to do that. So finally I took the dive, started applying about a year and a half ago. And I heard it takes a while. It takes a couple rounds for you, if you're going to get an interview, to get an interview. And it took about 3 or 4 rounds. And I got an email this summer and I got an interview and I accepted the position. And so now I'm teaching at the local college here in the western suburbs of Chicago. And it's a wonderful college. And to be honest with you, like, you want to talk about resources. I was walking around the room during my first class Tuesday night and they had models of everything. I mean, just everything. I mean, more models than you can ever imagine. They had a cadaver lab where they have... I know people always get squirmish. Don't worry about it. Patrick, I won't take you on a tour there. Don't worry. All right. Please,
no. For the love of God, no.
But, you know, and the students were wonderful. They were great. Really wanted to learn and were very motivated. Like the class I'm teaching is, you can tell a lot of these students want to go into some health related field. God bless them.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, it's been an interesting gig. It's been fun. I really walked away Tuesday night being like, hey, this is great. This is something that I am really excited about, especially now with my kids getting older. You know, we have 2 kids, you know, we're done. I always get that question. Are you guys done? Yeah, we're done. So, but you know, with my kids getting older and stuff, I think that this is something good that I can couple with my teaching to give me another challenge. I do like challenges. I do like new challenges. I know a lot of people. I know people out there are like me too that really like to have a new challenge. I've been doing the same thing with teaching for 16 years. Of course, we always change it up every year, which is a wonderful thing. I have new students every year, which is a wonderful thing. So it keeps it fresh. But being that this is a new challenge, my wife always likes to say to me, like, you need a new project. You always need a new project. And so this is definitely giving me another project.
That's awesome, man. I'm happy for you. And I hope it goes really well for you. I hope you are able to get everything that you want to get out of it. Because that is really cool. Speaking of challenges, before we go, I always like to do a little segment called The Goods.
Okay.
Where I like to pick your brain, maybe get some rapid fire, and kind of challenge the quick twitch muscles of the noggin.
Ooh, is this like the hot seat?
Oh yeah. You ready?
All right. Hold on. All right, I'm ready. Bring it.
All right. Question one. What is your biggest pet peeve?
It drives me nuts when I'm watching a movie and it's so silent and then somebody starts eating something and oh my God, it drives me nuts. So
you're chewing?
Oh, the chewing. Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. Question two. What is the worst type of student, in your opinion?
Oh, like ones that are just lazy and don't want to be there. You know, like we've all had them. Every teacher in the whole world has had them. Yeah. You know, but you know, you do want students that are motivated, and not every kid is on the same level. But you know, the more challenging ones are the ones that you're like, why? You know, you ask yourself like, why are you here? Like, I don't really understand. Like, you're not really putting in any effort. Mm-hmm. And you try to work with them. Absolutely do. And, you know, it's hard. It's very difficult.
Yeah. All right. Question three. What is one place that you would not like to go in the world or in the country? It doesn't matter. But what's one place you're like, you know what? No, I don't want to go there. I have no desire. Mm-mm. I won't. Won't do it.
That's a fascinating question, my friend. Cause there's, I gotta tell you, like I love traveling and I love going places. So
I know.
I'd rather go to places than not go to places. Even like Antarctica, I tell my wife, let's go someday. Right.
That'd
like,
be sweet. Yeah.
Places that I would never, ever want to go. You know, it's funny. I've been to some of the big cities. Like I've been to Paris, for example, didn't really get much from Paris. I'm not gonna lie. I know that some people out there will be like, "Oh my God, I love Paris." God bless you. Like I took a bunch of kids and one of them got pickpocketed. Another one, we saw a big fight. Like I walked away with a bad. So I'm not saying Paris. I'm just saying sometimes. I guess that there's sometimes like these bigger, more renowned places.
Yeah.
Aren't all they're cracked up to be. Sometimes I'd rather just go, like, for example, when we were in Italy, we went to this little town called Assisi. And like, it'd be hard to find on a map. But it was, like, the cutest little town in the world. I could have spent days there, days upon days there. You know, so I don't know if that really answers your question, but it's a hard one, man, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't really, but it's all right. You gave a good explanation.
There's not many places that I would not go to. Let's put it that way.
So you'd go to North Korea?
Oh God, no. Well, there you go. You're right. North Korea. No, I wouldn't go there. Would I go to South Korea? Yes. But when I go to North Korea, no. You're right. Good. Hey, there you go. You brought one up for me. Okay.
You know, it's funny. My last guest that I just recorded an episode with that'll be on their episode will be on this Saturday. I had asked her that question because it's always interesting to hear people's responses to it. And she was really having a hard time with it. Later on in the night, she messaged me on Facebook and goes, "I finally have an answer to your question." I said, "Go." She goes, "Prison. I'd really not like to go to prison."
Oh, true. Accurate. Like, that too.
That's a good
See,
one,
like,
right?
Because like, you never think that. Like, I'm thinking of like cities and countries. Yeah. I never thought, absolutely. Oh my God. That's even higher than North Korea for me. Yeah. I definitely wouldn't want to go there. Yeah. So there you go.
And then my final question is, how do you keep yourself centered and grounded?
Oh, my family. Mm-hmm. My family, like plain and simple. I am such a family guy. I am family guy through and through. Like that's what my life evolves around. Like I just, when I'm around my kids, when I'm around my wife, like that's where I find the most joy. the most happiness. You know, it's funny, like my wife literally asked me, when was the last time that I did not spend the night with my children, like in the same house? And it was before the pandemic. So we're talking 2.5 years ago now.
I have not
been away from them for a night since the pandemic. And I told her, I said, I'm kind of happy about that. I that's actually something I'm proud of. So yeah, my place where I find my center, my where I just come back to myself and I center myself is with my family.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you very much for being here. I really, really appreciate it. And yeah, man, this was an absolute joy. I love talking with you. I could talk with you for hours and hours. Seriously, it's awesome.
Seriously, where do you live again? Nashville? Where do you live again?
Louisiana.
Louisiana. That's Louisiana. Right. Way down south.
Okay, way down south. I'm down the bayou.
Too hot for me.
I'll tell you what, though. It's been kind of gloomy and rainy. It's been like 70s, 80s.
Right okay.
Now. It's really nice. It's
what about the humidity? Nice. How's the humidity?
It's breeze. Yeah, it's humid. It's not dry.
I'm Persian, dude. I sweat like crazy, okay?
Yeah. Dude, I sweat like crazy. Let me tell you. I'm Irish, you know? Maybe it's just, I don't know, it's Irish guilt or something maybe is what makes us sweat. I don't know. I think that's a thing, but that's
no,
fun,
God man. Bless you, Patrick. You're great. I love you, man. We'll keep in touch.
Most definitely.
I think you're doing great things. I really do.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right.
And everybody go listen to the True You podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Where can they hear this podcast, by the way?
It's on Apple, it's on Spotify, it's on everything, you know, all your typical podcasting stuff. True You Character Building with Java. Yeah, we'd love to have you. We have so many topics to talk about. I feel like my brain's getting overloaded with so many different topics and we're getting new people on all the time. So it's a great thing. It's really fun.
Links to follow Java will be down below in the description. So make sure to check that out. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Java.
Thank you.
That's all we got. That is it for this episode. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for listening and for watching. And we will see you next time for the final episode. Stay tuned.